this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. Welcome to episode 62. I missed you last week. I didn't get a new episode up. I did a whole batch of interviews and I've published all of them. So you have all my latest interviews and I have a lot of interviews scheduled for the coming weeks, but I didn't have any more interviews done and I just did not have time to do an episode more than like 2 minutes. And I was like, well, what's the point of just doing 2 minutes to say, hi, I don't have time for an episode. Bye. So I figured you'd figure that out when no episode was published. So that, you know, life was just busy. Pippa was on spring break and I had some other stuff going on, which I'll actually catch you up on now. My book, almost there. I'm proofreading. I have like 3 chapters in the epilogue to proofread through. And then that's the print version. What I'm doing is, you know, for those of you who've been listening, I'm indie publishing my book. And, you know, self-publishing has a stigma, and I love it because postpartum depression has a stigma. So let's embrace the stigma and give a big fuck you to the stigma, because who cares? I don't care if my book gets awards. I don't care if it's in bookstores. I don't care if you're able to buy it at the grocery store. I just don't care. I just want my book out there, and I like that I've been able to keep control of it, and I can do this faster. Like, if I was trying to traditionally publish, right now I'd be like, looking for an agent, and that could take a year or two, and then the agent would have to find a publisher, and that could take a year or two, and then there might not even be a publisher, and I'd still have to indie publish, and I would have just delayed the whole process by like 3 or 4 years. So instead, I get to keep control. I keep control of what the cover looks like. If you follow me on Facebook, you'll see that we have a cover. I'm so excited. I get to keep control over the title of the book, which is important to me. I wanted something upbeat. I keep control of everything, and I love that. I know control has been an issue for me, and it was something I worked through a lot in therapy, but when it comes to something like my book, I still want to keep some control. So that's where we are on the book. I have to finish this proofreading, which is really easy, and I use this program called Vellum, which is online, and you can download the software, and they format the book for you. So I'm proofreading the print version. I've caught like literally 2 things that I wanted to change, but it's good because I'm doing a final slow read to make sure that everything got copied over appropriately and I didn't like accidentally leave out half a chapter. I don't know how I would do that, but you just got to make sure of these things because this book is my 3rd baby and I want to make sure my baby is ready for the world. And then all the and while I proofread it, I'm also keeping a list of blog post ideas because I want to keep blogging and want to keep, it's just giving me ideas about things I want to write about. And I'm really coming up with a lot of journaling questions because writing has just been a tremendous part of my recovery and my healing. And it's something that is really important to my well-being and my self-care and my mental health. And it's not something that came naturally to me. And it's something I learned through therapy and through reading different books about writing and, you know, just figuring it out and practice. And it's not the most natural thing to do every day for me, but it helps me level up in terms of my wellness and my, just how I feel as a human and as a person and how I feel like my most authentic version of myself. So to that said, I want to write all these journaling questions that accompany the book so that people who want to write, but are like, I don't know even how to start or what to write about and feel self-conscious, I'll have writing prompts so that you can kind of, and maybe someone out there wants to write their postpartum depression memoir and they can use the journaling questions just to get themselves started. So that's something I'm working on. So the book will be out. Like, I need to get my cover, my face shot just for the print edition. You know, there's a little about the author blurb in that picture. And then the other thing I need to do is make a website. Okay, so for those of you who've been listening, I have a website that I always refer to, ppdadventures.com, for the show notes. But this week, don't try to get the show notes because my website crashed. I don't know what happened. I went on to put up like a new post and there was all this gibberish and I could see all the posts and show notes that I've written, but I couldn't get them to be online. And I thought I used to actually pay a little bit for this website, but maybe my credit card, you know, it had, maybe it expired, or maybe I wasn't set for automatic renewal, or I don't know why. But I had to pay a lot of money, it looked like, to fix the problems, but I didn't even know if I would be fixing the website, so I got very irritated. And no, that's not true. I didn't get irritated. I got kind of confused. Like, what is going on with the website? This has never had issues. And, you know, I've been blogging in some way for probably 10 years. So, and I've had, this is my first website that I do with WordPress as opposed to just a blog with, you know, Blogspot with Google. But I was, you know, a little confused. But I didn't get irritated or even annoyed or panicked. Instead, I just sort of went, this seems like a sign, because I have been meaning to start a website, CourtneyHenningNovak.com, that's my name, to just be a place to write about all the things I want to write about that aren't postpartum depression. Because whenever I had something on my mind that I wanted to write about, but it wasn't postpartum depression, I felt self-conscious, like, well, this is a website called PPD Adventures, so it should just be about the podcast and the book and my postpartum thoughts. And, but it was also like, it felt weird to have like multiple sites for my name. And so this just seems like the universe way of being like, look, you're publishing your book in a couple of weeks, and my book has an about the author and it says my website. It's like, why don't we just get the regular website going, CourtneyHenningNovak.com, and that's where I can write about postpartum depression and put the show notes, put stuff about the book, put stuff about my other projects, my self-care, my wellness, all the reading I've been doing on menopause and premenopause, all the health changes I've been making, just anything going on in my life that I want to write about, it'll just be my home. And that feels really good. It means it's probably going to delay the publishing of my book by like 2 weeks. But I also need the headshot, and I want it to be pretty. And my sister's in Australia right now for work, but she promised she's going to take a very pretty picture of me when she gets back. And I'm getting my hair done tomorrow and colored, so it might be 2 weekends before I can get my picture taken. But, you know, I even practiced makeup today. I'm not going to be like glamour makeup. I'm not a big makeup person, never have been. But, you know, maybe some subdued lipstick and a little like concealer to, you know, conceal the dark eye circles that just seem to come with motherhood. So that's life with the book and the website crashing last week. But I feel like I'm doing really well in my life, because instead of having a massive freak out, I really took me like 60 seconds to pivot to my new idea. But I wanted to talk to you a bit about my health and my, you know, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all that, what's been going on with me. So if you follow along with the show, and there's a lot of episodes from last year, I weaned off Zoloft, and that was a process that took about a year. And during that process, I also weaned off mirtazapine, and I can't remember which is the generic name, mirtazapine or Bremeron, but that is the drug that helped me sleep when I had postpartum depression with Pippa, and also in my postpartum months after Julian. And it's something I take at night, and I've been weaned off it since like the fall. I'd have to like comb through my journals to figure out when. Probably like September-ish, I think I weaned off it, so late summer. And I didn't have sleep issues. And I kept weaning off the Zoloft, and I didn't have sleep issues. And I got off the Zoloft like right around Christmas. And then in January, oh my god, I had PMS from hell. Like, irritable, like to the point of like homicidal irritable. Which is just not a good quality in a mother of young children. You don't ever want to feel homicidal when you have young children. At least I don't. Maybe it makes you feel productive. Probably not. I just don't think homicidal is ever really a positive feeling. At least where young children are concerned. And so I did some reading. I was like, okay, I don't want to immediately jump back on Zoloft. I want to figure out what's going on here and if there's something else that needs to be addressed. Because I'm not an advocate for drugs. I'm an advocate for doing what works for you. So I don't ever want to feel like, you know, say anything that makes someone think, oh, I shouldn't take Zoloft. Because I think Zoloft saved my life after I had Pippa. And I think it kept me feeling like my best self in that postpartum year after I had Julian. And I think if it's something that you need to take, that you should take it. And but I still have messy feelings over it, because there is a stigma. There are all these articles out there about like Prozac Nation, and there are people who kind of like, oh, didn't you just power through it? And there's people who don't get mental health, and it's still something that I think I need to work on, but more on that later. So I bought all these books about premenopause, perimenopause, menopause, because I'm very interested in reading up on that and preparing, because I know that's the next big transition of my life, and I was blindsided completely by the transition to motherhood and by postpartum depression. I don't want that to happen again. So it was kind of like, I bought this book months ago, but I just looked on my shelf and I bought this book called What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Premenopause, and I just felt like I should read this. And I took it off and I read the book, and it made me think, convinced me I need to go off sugar and try progesterone cream. And also, just from knowing who I am all my life, I know caffeine makes me more anxious, and I could feel a little anxiety going on, and I thought, okay, like along, you know, with PMS, it was like irritability, mood swings, and some anxiety. So I thought, all right, I just have to get off caffeine. I am not my best self when I'm on it. So beginning of February, I completely cut off sugar, and I started weaning off caffeine. By the end of February, I was still completely off sugar, down about 10 pounds, and completely off caffeine at that point. So I had my second menstrual cycle of the year, and I did not have any irritability or dramatic mood swings with the PMS time, which is great. But I had some insomnia, which is not great. So I couldn't figure out the insomnia. And I started doing what I do, like just blaming it on different things. Like, oh, it's the caffeine withdrawal. I'm finally off caffeine, but my body's like rebooting, so it must be the caffeine withdrawal. Or, oh, I'm just making all these positive health changes, so it has something to do with like body chemistry. And I kept like kind of thinking, I just need to wait another day. And I had in the back of my head, I should call my psychiatrist. But I knew that what was going to happen is she was going to put me on mirtazapine again. And I still had a bottle, like with a bunch of doses in the cupboard. But I just had this mental block, like I'm off mirtazapine, I shouldn't go back on it. But it was, and Nathan caught on to this early on. He's just like, babe, sleep is your issue. And to him, it was, once you have a bad night's sleep, you start to think about it, and it becomes a thing. And then you go to bed, and you can't help but worry that you're not going to sleep well again. And then it just sort of keeps going and going and going. So he was fully like, call your psychiatrist, you know, or, you know, and I still was like, maybe I just need to see my psychologist again. Because I started seeing my old therapist, the psychologist, my fourth therapist since college, when Julian was a few months old, and we worked together for about a little over a year. And last summer, I just felt like it was time to like take a break from therapy as well. And I ended therapy fully knowing I'm going to go back to this at some point in my life. Therapy is a very helpful tool for me to figure things out. And it's not something I need every week of my life, but it is a tool that I go back to. I mean, I've done it 4 times. I did it in college. I did it when I was a young lawyer hating her career. I did it after I had postpartum depression with Pippa, and then I did it again after I had Julian. So it's like, you know, making the transition to life with 2 children. So, but I don't know, there's something about like, I get off mirtazapine, and I'm totally a proponent of if you need medication, you should take medication, but I have this block against going back on mirtazapine. I stopped doing therapy, and suddenly I have a block about going back to therapy. And of course, I think about the money. I think about how much it costs each week and how much I've been saving my family by not doing therapy, and I forget that it's so important to my health that when I need it, who cares what it costs? Sometimes you have to be a little selfish and take care of yourself. And it's not even being selfish. It's like, it's being self-centered, it's being self-aware, it's self-care. But so I had all these blocks against doing these things. But insomnia kept going, so eventually I was like, oh my God, I can't be my best self. I'm miserable. I'm cranky. I'm short-tempered with the kids. I thought like for a while that I had a cold, and you know, I took NyQuil a few nights and that did help me sleep. But even when I have a cold, I still don't get insomnia. If anything, I sleep 10 hours. So it was, you know, hello denial. So I finally called my psychiatrist, and this would be about 2 weeks ago. Told her what was going on. Said maybe I need to go on mirtazapine. She said, that's a great idea. I'd been on 30 milligrams with my first psychiatrist when I had postpartum depression with Pippa, but this psychiatrist had me on like 15, and I said, do you think since it's so bad I should go on 30? And she was like, no, I think for your sleep issues you should do 15. So I tried 15 that night, and I slept like a baby. And I did that for a few days, and I decided though, at the same time I called my psychiatrist, I have been thinking that I really need to take charge of my physical health. That I've done a lot of work on my mental, emotional, spiritual health and my self-care, but I have not done a lot with my body, okay? At the beginning of the year, I'm 5'5", and I weighed about 232 pounds. That's overweight. I'm like overweight, started the year about 100 pounds overweight, which is more than both of my children weigh combined. So, you know, in addition to sometimes having to carry Julian because he's two and wants to snuggle, I was just carrying around another, like, I don't know, how much does, who weighs 100 pounds? Like a fourth grader, a sixth grader? I don't know. So I was like carrying that, I've been carrying that around. And I knew the weight was a blessing in a way because it showed me I needed to make health changes. And there are skinny people who need to make health changes. But for me, weight is a really good, like, very obvious sign. It's, I don't look at a skinny person and think maybe that person needs to make health changes. Maybe they're not eating the best stuff for themselves, because you can be skinny and still eating tons of like crap that's not nutritious. But you look in the mirror, you put on the clothes, you, a skinny person can look healthy. But, you know, for me, in my body, I look in the mirror and I just know I'm not as healthy as I could be. So I decided, I kept thinking about my physical health, and something that kept coming up in my mind for several years, and this has been going on for several years, is that I should see a holistic doctor, the sort of doctor who doesn't just like take a 10-minute appointment, but really looks at me and gets to know me and talks about my diet and talks about my exercise and like putting all the pieces of the puzzle together instead of just treating a symptom and giving me a medication. And this is something that started before I got pregnant with Pippa, because I had a bladder infection. And it basically just roasted my bladder. And when I went to, and the pain continued after I took the medications for the bladder infection. And I, you know, I went back to the doctor, told him I'm in pain. He ran more, you know, urine samples and took tests. And the nurse called me and said, "You're clear." And I'm like, "Yes, but I'm still in pain." And she's like, "You're clear." And then like, that was it. And I had to go on my own and, you know, did a lot of Google searches and a lot of soul searching and figured out, like, I basically, the infection basically scorched my bladder. And I found out all the different drinks, and I drank lots of soda and coffee, and I ate lots of tomatoes. And I had to figure out all the foods and drinks that were irritating my bladder and go on this, like, eliminate all of them from my diet and gave my bladder time to really heal. And my damn doctor never took the time to even address those possibilities. It was just, well, there's nothing I can prescribe, so I'm done with you. So I thought a holistic doctor, and I didn't know what the real terminology was, but I just had the word holistic. So I started running some, you know, Yelp searches and checking out what Pasadena has, and I found a naturopathic doctor. And I learned that in California, at least, I don't know how this works for the rest of the United States or the world or what have you, but a naturopathic doctor goes to traditional medical school alongside your traditional Western medical doctors. And they go through medical school and they pass all of the same boards and they do all the training, but they focus their training and their, you know, whereas an obstetrician is studying like a female's anatomy and all that stuff, they're studying, they're learning more about nutrition and they're learning more about like whole body wellness and preventative medicine. Like they take a healthy person, but they can see, you know, you're healthy, but you're still eating too much sugar. So let's talk about ways to reduce that. So I found this naturopathic doctor and I scheduled an appointment and I saw her last week, which was why I didn't do a podcast last week, because the first appointment, I mean, I think I spent 2 hours with the doctor. I've never spent that much time with a doctor other than the 3 hours I was in active labor and my obstetrician was there getting Pippa out of me. I've never spent that much time with a doctor. I didn't spend that much time with my doctor when I got a C-section. A C-section with Julian was faster than this appointment. And it was great. We talked about everything and she had all these surveys for me to fill out, which made me, like, was triggering my brain. And she said this thing to me that just really resonated with me. So I wanted to share, because I kept talking about, you know, I told her, like, I've been meaning to do this and I wanted a new physician. I didn't want to just go in and be told lose weight and be given a sheet about like the food pyramid. I told her, I feel like I need to be taking supplements and I keep reading health books and they keep suggesting different things. So I don't even know. And she wanted to take a blood test. I'm like, beautiful. So they did a blood draw a couple days later. So that was another thing. So I was there Tuesday for appointment one, but then I had to do fasting and come back for the next appointment it was good because I had to meet with the doctor to know what blood tests, because they're running like a food sensitivities panel. And I'm so excited. Like, just like she did like the physical exam and she could just tell from like my ears and my nose that I must be sensitive to something I'm eating. And so they're doing the food sensitivities, and then we just talked a lot about my moods, and she's like, she was just really surprised that in all these years, no doctor has ever thought to run a hormonal panel on me. So she's running this hormonal panel to see, like, what's going on with my hormones? And we talked about the progesterone cream I've been using, and she was like, okay with me to keep taking it. And but after we get the results back, she can better tailor what I should be taking. And so I saw her last week, and I get to go back in 2 months. So it takes like a month to get all these blood test results back. And then she gave me this whole diet. Okay, before I get there, what she said. You know, it's talking about, like, I'm here because I want to see you, but I've also had these really bad moods of PMS, and now I'm having the insomnia, and I feel like there's changes I need to make. And she said, you know, everyone has their thing. For some people, it's breathing issues. Some people, it's stomach issues. For some people, it's the skin. They get all these rashes. For you, it might just be moods. This is your health issue, and it's the thing that it's your body's way of expressing that you need to make some changes. And that just really, really clicked with me, because it has. Like, I don't have stomach or breathing or skin issues, but I have had all these volatile moods, and, you know, going into depression and going into anxiety. And it was just like, this is your thing. Like, it's not, like, and I know I've never done anything wrong, but it's not that I, you know, watched the wrong TV as a kid, or that I had an unusually mean teacher. It's just like, look, I'm sensitive to hormones, and like, I'm the person whose mood is affected when her hormones are changing. I'm the person whose mood is affected when she eats too much sugar. That's why I cut sugar, and it also reduced my irritability. So it was just I really liked that sentiment. It really resonated with me, and I keep thinking about it like every day. So she gave me a diet. I think we called it like a modified anti-inflammatory diet. I'd already cut sugar and caffeine. She also had me cut dairy and gluten. This is big, because I was still finding lots of ways to eat flour-based foods, and knowing like these are sort of empty calories and I'm just filling myself up but not giving myself the nutrition I need. And cutting the dairy is huge, because anyone who knows me knows I'm a cheeseaholic. And again, you're just eating, you're stuffing your face with the cheese, and it can get kind of mindless, and you're filling yourself with fat and calories, but you're not getting anything like fiber or vitamin C. So it felt like a real relief to cut the dairy and gluten. And she gave me a whole bunch of supplements. I'm taking now a multivitamin and 7 supplements a day. And I've only just started, because it was like an online pharmacy and they just came in the mail recently. But I thought it was going to be a lot for my body. And as I talk about this, I'm remembering, shit, I was supposed to take my supplements after lunch. Okay, I can still take it. Like, my stomach still has food in it, so I'll take them in, like, when we're done here in 10, 20 minutes. But I thought it would be too many supplements, but my body's fine. Like, they're very gentle, and I don't feel like I'm taking too much. So she gave me that whole diet to follow, and I've already lost a few more pounds. So I was at like 232 the beginning of the year, and now it's, you know, late March, and I'm down to, what am I, like 218? So I'm down like 14 pounds since the beginning of the year, and it's really since February. So in less than 2 months, I'm down 14 pounds. So, and I feel better, my clothes are a little loose, and it's feeling great. And she gave me, she recommended melatonin for insomnia, and I've heard about this. So I went home that night, I took the melatonin, and I still had this panic and anxiety and was up for hours. And I was like, what the fuck? What is going on? So the next night I took the mirtazapine and I felt better. And then another night after that, I just felt like this urge to not take anything. I was feeling very calm and zen. So I took nothing, and I got this diffuser, and I put in a few drops, and I'm finally being turned on to aromatherapy. And I put in a few drops of this little nighttime oil, and I slept beautifully. Then I had a couple of rough nights after that. I was like, what is going on? And I was thinking about it and trying to figure it out. And it clicked with me yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday. Me and Nathan, sometimes we do divide and conquer. And there's this thing at the racetrack he loves to do on Saturdays. And it's a seminar. So he goes there. And then on Sunday, I get to go off and do my thing. And, you know, we have lots of weekends with family time. But this was a good weekend to do that, because the weekend before was Pippa's birthday. Nathan's dad was in town. So it was family, family, family. Clean up the house. Get the house destroyed. Clean up the house again. Set up a moon bounce. All that stuff. So this was a great weekend to have like a day off. And I was driving to my favorite spa in Koreatown out here in LA, which has, it's this woman's only spa. And if you're ever in LA, you should go to the Olympic Day Spa. It's very naked, like the most naked you'll ever feel in your life aside from childbirth. but it's beautiful and it's all women and there's all these tubs for soaking and different saunas. And my doctor, so she gave me exercise. She wants me to do 40, we talked about walking, and she would ideally like me to do 40 minutes of fast walking 5 times a week, plus some strength training 5 times a week for 20 minutes. I'm working up to that. Partly it's just my body needs time to exchange, but mostly it's just I need to figure out when's the best time to do this, because I'm on the verge of Julian being in preschool and having a lot more free time, but right now it's just tough on the days where it's just me and Julian. Sometimes, you know, like as soon, like he can be playing, I could be doing dishes and laundry and he doesn't give a shit. As soon as I'm exercising, he's like, "Mommy, I want to snuggle. Mama, I need you." And he's like a koala bear around my leg. And it's really hard to safely exercise when you have a koala that weighs over 30 pounds attached to your leg. So I'm working on the stretching and all that. But one thing my doctor also recommended was to sweat. And she wants me to go to a sauna twice a week. So this was my first time doing the sauna and it felt good. She said you actually lose the most toxins, not through pee and poop, but through sweat. And since I'm losing weight, there's a lot of toxins being released, so I need to be sweating. And so I'll be going to my plan is to try to do Wednesdays and then once on the weekend, and the weeks I don't go to the spa, my gym has a sauna. So I'm just going to sweat, and I might try hot yoga. There's a hot yoga studio near us. I'll let you know how that goes if I try it. So I'm driving to the spa, and I'm thinking about the insomnia and the sleep. And I'd gotten enough sleep the night before, but only because it was a Sunday and Nathan was home and I was able to, I slept. I could not get to sleep. I was wired and could not get sleep until midnight. So I was up at 7 and that was enough. But it's like, I can't do that on weekdays because Nathan has to go to work and the kids are up before 7. I don't have the luxury of sleeping as late as I can. So, you know, it's just thinking through the anxiety, what is going on? And it clicked. And I was like, oh my God, that was me snapping and trying to do a click. Oh, that was a good snap. There we go. Can I do good again? All right, that's the click. There's the mental click. Okay, here's the click. I gave up my biggest food issues. Sugar, caffeine, and that's when the insomnia started. And then I kind of was getting a little control over it, but then I gave up flour, gluten, and dairy, my other food issues. And I was fine. I was so ready to give up all those foods. I could see what they're doing to my body. I could see what they were doing to my moods and to my overall health. And I am just ready to feel vibrant and effervescent and just as alive and healthy as I can be. But I took all those foods away and I was happy to. But I didn't realize when I did it, I was eating to manage my anxiety. Now, I had postpartum depression, anxiety, and OCD, and I worked through all that. I also did a lot of work with my cognitive behavioral psychologist after Pippa, and then my next psychologist after Julian. Did a lot of work with them and unraveled a lot of pre-existing anxiety. And at the time, I think I thought I had done it all. But, you know, sometimes you do the work, and then you need a little time to rest on your laurels, enjoy that plateau before you're ready to do more work. Somehow I got to the point where I wasn't necessarily ready to do the work, but I took away the crutches. So the sugar, the flour, the ice cream, the cheese, just the constant noshing. Look, I will nosh on cheese all day. But once you take that cheese away, I discover I'm not really feeling compelled to nosh on pickles. Like, I'll have like one and I'm fully satisfied. So I took away all those food issues and suddenly it was as if there's a veil between my conscious and my subconscious, and the remaining anxiety was behind the veil. And by eating all of these foods, I was keeping the anxiety at bay. But by removing those food issues, and I was ready, I was really ready, it was like I shredded the veil. I just removed it, and all this anxiety was like, woohoo, fuck yeah, party time. And it came out, and it attacked my sleep, and that's where the insomnia came from. And I was driving the car, and I was just like, oh my God, and I was like on the freeway, but I fumbled to pull up my iPhone, and I like dictated a note to myself, but like the more I thought about it, the more I was like, this is it. I've stopped my bad food habit. I haven't taken on any other bad habits. I don't feel, I'm just not interested in like starting smoking at the age of 39 when I have two small children. I'm not going to start drinking alcohol now. I'm like, I haven't had a drink since like January. Like, I've never been a big drinker. And now that it's like a calorie thing, I'm like, I don't need it. So there's just no other bad habits. Like, food has been my bad habit since I was, like, I don't know, 16? Younger? I don't know. High school, I would say. Adolescence. Like, it just, I haven't been a person who dealt with all the emotions. And I think me and my cognitive behavioral psychologist, we dealt with all the anxiety that had, that it was like my food can handle, like, let's say 100 units of anxiety. But my anxiety was like 150 units. So there were like 50 units over that my food just couldn't handle. So I was eating to keep a lid on those 100 units. Then I had a 50 more units on top of that. And then like being like postpartum and depression, anxiety just like added like 1,000 units. So we dealt with like the postpartum 1,000 units. Then we dealt with those 50 units. But that was it. That was what I could see. It was kind of like you can see the tip of the iceberg. We weren't able to get at the other anxiety because I was eating and I was numbing that anxiety. And now that I've stopped the eating and I'm losing all this weight and I feel great, the anxiety, the floodgates are opened. And I have no interest in eating to just numb it. Like, we had Pippa's birthday. I baked her cake, folks. I frosted her fucking chocolate cake with tubs of like that chocolate frosting. I used to be able to eat a whole tub of that just sitting alone, like yum 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 yum, practically go unconscious. And I've completely lost it. I was telling Nathan yesterday, I feel like I was possessed by sugar. And by removing it, it's like that scene in The Two Towers, all of you Lord of the Rings fans, when the king of Rohan is, and Gandalf comes and he gets Saruman out of him and he's unpossessed. I don't know what the word for possession is, but that's how I feel. And I mean, I frosted the cake and was like, I don't even want this. There's a little bits of frosting on my fingers. I don't want to lick this. I'm washing it off me. I don't want it because I can see what it does to me and the spell has been broken. But the veil has also been kind of lifted and the anxiety's here and now I have to deal with it. So I booked an appointment with my psychologist. We have an appointment coming this Thursday. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see her regularly. I have a lot going on for the next couple months and Julian's not in preschool yet. So I think I'm going to just try to see her every few weeks when we can fit it in. And then when Julian's in preschool, like next September, I can, like, if I feel like I need it, I'll set up a regular block of time. And if I need it, I'll find a way to make this happen. Like, I can cancel things. I can make it work. Or I can get more babysitting time. I mean, there are options. Abundance, folks. I can make this happen. So I schedule an appointment with my therapist. I am, in the meantime, planning to continue taking mirtazapine. I took it last night. I slept beautifully. I picked up my refill at the pharmacy. I actually, last week, was at the pharmacy. I said hi to the pharmacist. Hi, Jennifer. She's like, here, Courtney, here's your... And I was like, no, I don't want it. I'm getting melatonin. She's like, oh, that's great. But the thing is, melatonin, it doesn't deal with anxiety. And I realize now that I have this anxiety, that I have lifted away the food addictions. The little anxiety demons are like, nee, 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 and I am going to slay those little fuckers. But in the meantime, I need to sleep. So I'm going to take some mirtazapine and I'm going to keep aware. I'm going to keep a lid on this and I have lots of tricks. And so I'll keep telling you about that in the coming months. So I think this is, you know, enough talk for me for a solo episode. I'm getting short of breath and my mouth is all tight. Here, let me get a sip of water. Water is critical to weight loss and detoxifying, by the way. And I know I've known this for like 30 years, but sometimes like it just takes a while for these things to click. So that's it for this week. You can always email me, Courtney@ppdadventures.com. I don't have show notes up because I don't have a website right now. The internet ate my website. If you go and visit it, it's like a bunch of gobbledygook right now. Fucking internet. But I'm going to start the new website. Maybe this week, maybe next. I just got to finish the proofing and then I can do the website. And then I'll be publishing the book in the next 2-3 weeks and I'll let you know. And I've got lots of interviews coming up next month. And if you want to share your story on a future episode, I'd love to have you. So email me, Courtney@ppdadventures.com. And that's it for this week. Postpartum depression is, and all maternal mood disorders can feel incredibly lonely and isolating. And you know, any mood disorder for that matter, any brand of anxiety, any type of depression, it's just isolating. But you're not alone. There are just thousands and thousands and thousands of people suffering alongside you right now, and thousands more, like tens of thousands more who've had in the past. And you can and will make a full recovery. I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful week.